Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drives. And as we get rolling with a brand new week, it's arguably the best time of the year for sports. Arguably. I know we don't have actual football going on right now, and that's definitely a driving force. But look, we have spring college football. We're just a few weeks off from the, less than 3 weeks away from the Utah Ute spring game, and we'll be talking about that coming up in the next few weeks. We're in the same month now as the NFL draft. Major League Baseball is officially underway. I guess you all have two opening days for Major League Baseball. I'm not quite sure how that works. Opening day was yesterday, but today is also pegged opening day. And then we get the NCAA National Championship game tonight, Villanova, North Carolina. There's so much going on in the national sports scene. In fact, so much that a couple of, I guess you could call them somewhat big headlines in combat sports have gone under the radar. The big one is Daniel Cormier not going to be in attendance at UFC 197 to fight John Jones. So Dana White once again punching the brick wall as things are unraveling once again with a headline event for UFC. Ah, we're going to see John Jones. We're just not going to see Cormier. And then we had Adrian Broner. And I'm not an Adrian Broner guy at all. You'll recognize the name. If you're a casual boxing fan, you're going to recognize the name Adrian Broner. But you recognize the name because the guy's a moron. That's why you recognize the name. It's not because of what he's accomplished in the ring. He's like a four-time champion. But he's winning belts at this, you know, this super welterweight and all those dinky classes. I don't really take into consideration a four-time champion anymore when you're slightly moving up 3 to 4 pounds in a weight class. He was arrested, turned himself in after TKOing Ashley Theophane on Saturday. He called out Floyd Mayweather in the middle of the ring because Floyd Mayweather was in attendance. That's the boxing story. So even some combat news coming in, combat sport news. But the big focus today, the NCAA National Championship and Major League Baseball. Did you watch baseball yesterday? I watched a lot of it. I watched the first opening game. That was Pittsburgh and the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright didn't look all that great in his first contest out. Pittsburgh knocking off the Cardinals 4-1 in a game that was freezing cold. It was very entertaining. I enjoyed that game thoroughly. Toronto knocked off Tampa Bay yesterday 5-3. It was the Royals topping the Mets at home in a rematch of last year's World Series 4-3. Now today we're off and rolling. If your team didn't play yesterday, they play today. Good chance of it. Minnesota and Baltimore right now. This game is delayed because of the weather at the end of the second. We have a game at the top of the seventh right now. Texas on top of Seattle 3-2. Cole Hamels is on the hill right now for the Texas Rangers. Also in the seventh inning, Atlanta and Washington. These two squads tied 2-2. Philly and Cincinnati going at it. Bottom of the seventh right now. Philly up 2-1 on the Reds. Postponed game between the Astros and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Indians. Both of those games postponed. The Giants really hammering the Brewers earlier today. Madison Bumgarner gets the win. Final score in this one, 12-3. Giants with the victory. 5 p.m. getting ready to start here in less than an hour. We get the Dodgers and the Padres. Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound for the Dodgers. The Blue Jays and the Rays will go back at it. The Rockies take on the Diamondbacks, the Cubbies and the Angels, and then the White Sox and the Athletics. So, if baseball's your sport, you've got to be stoked about this weekend. The one complaint that always pops up when you talk about baseball, people say it's boring. It takes no time at all for people on social media to call out baseball, and they say it's boring. You want to know what my thought is on why people view baseball boring? Because the defense always has the ball in hand. It's the only sport where the defense has the ball in hand, and the defense controls the tempo of the game. People don't like defense anymore. I mean, just look at football, basketball. Now, the final score of a football game is 21-10. As a boring game. It's 13-10. It's a boring game. It was a sloppy game. If the final score of a football game is 55-49, then it was an entertaining game. It was a slobber knocker. It was a barn burner. It went back and forth. People don't like defense. Baseball's not boring. It just takes... I don't know what word I mean. It's not boring. I think there's... I don't want to say a science. There is a science to it, obviously, but the defense controlling the tempo of the game, a lot of people view it as boring. National championship game tonight, it's not going to be boring, and we got a preview in the Final Four over the weekend. North Carolina methodically defeating Syracuse, methodically. They just pulled away in that game. They had control of it for the majority of the contest. Villanova, on the other hand, they thumped Oklahoma. And I don't know if anybody really predicted. I know one person predicted Villanova to get to the national championship, and we'll talk about that in a bit on our Drive Time Sports Bracket Challenge. But I don't think anyone could have predicted that they would outscore Oklahoma by 30 in the second half, and they shoot 71% from the field in that game. So Villanova is playing at an extremely high level right now. I think North Carolina is the better team, and North Carolina is the favorite, according to the odds makers in Vegas. It opened up at about a 2.5-point spread. No doubt in my mind that North Carolina is the better team. They got the best 7-man rotation in the country. But Villanova is playing at an historical level. You know, we try not to become prisoners in the moment. At least I do here on this show. Because a lot of the time, the latest typically grabs the tag of the greatest. And of course, we know that's not always true. Villanova is playing at a level that we have not seen since the tournament evolved back in 1985. We haven't seen it. They have knocked down 58% of their shots in the tournament. They have connected on 51% of their three-point makes. That's incredible. It's unbelievable. 50% from downtown, excuse me. I can't even comprehend that. That's how good this offense has been during the 5 games that they have played in the NCAA tournament. And on the flip side of that, the defense has created 72 turnovers. This team's pretty good. I roll with the hot hand going into tonight's game. I think I'm going to roll with Villanova to knock off North Carolina. You got to go with who's playing hot. And there's no doubt that Villanova is playing hot. It's something that we haven't seen in about 30 years in the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk more college basketball. That's coming up in just a bit. Also today, we are going to talk some local sports. Now, there was some breaking news about an hour ago. And I should have started the show with this news. The Emory High School football team has a new head coach, John Famalo, who's been a longtime assistant with the program. It's been announced that he will be the new football coach. So hopefully we'll get to catch up with Coach Famalo relatively soon. Hopefully we can catch up with Principal Davis as well at Emory High School. But congratulations to Coach Famalo. He's going to be the leader of the new era that's shaping right now at Emory High School. Well-deserved. Coach Famalo has joined us on the show several times. About 2 years ago, he gave us the weekly interview for the high school football team, him and Coach Chris Justice. So I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Famalo, and I'm really looking forward to see what he can do with this Emory team, which should be pretty good in this upcoming season. So congratulations all the way around to Coach Famalo. Well-deserved. He is now the new head coach of the Emory Spartan football team. We've got to pause for just a moment. Other local news on the show today. Coach Jeff Centenaris of the Carbon Dino baseball team will join us in just a bit. We're going to talk about the Carbon Dinos opening up league play. They get a doubleheader with Canyon View tomorrow. Both of those games on the road. Then they'll take on Canyon View for the third and final time later on this week. Region 12 doing a new thing as far as baseball goes. Each region team will play each other 3 times now, which I'm a big fan of. I'm glad that there's more emphasis on the league games. And, for the Dinos, as far as the projections go, Carbon and Canyon View should be competing for the region title, and they start the year off with one another in a 3-game set. That's crucial. So Coach Centenaris will talk about that. And again, we're going to go over the Tournament Bracket Challenge. We're down to 2 listeners on the show today. Now, again, if your team went to the Final Four, I got something for you. But the grand prize is on the line tonight. Winners One of the winners, it's going to be, it's actually brother sister. Brittany's going up against Tyson. We'll talk about that in just a bit as well. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
This party is great. Where did you find the time to make all this wonderful food?
I didn't cook a thing. I called Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery.
No way. That Dutch oven chicken is amazing. And the rolls, I could eat the whole basket. Not to mention the pies. I thought for sure you'd spent days preparing all this great food.
No, I just called Big Mo's. Call Big Mo's at 636-0451 to help you cater your next family or company party.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM Newsroom, I'm Jordan Muscarini with a look at local sports. The USU Eastern Golden Eagle baseball team split a four-game set with the Colorado Northwestern Spartans on Friday and Saturday as they continued a lengthy homestand. Starting with the action on Friday, Colorado got the best of USU Eastern, knocking them off 8-2 in the first game and 17-6 in the second game. USU Eastern fired back. They defeated Colorado 6-5 in the first game Saturday and then 6-4 in the second game. Needing a couple of wins to keep pace with Colorado, potentially putting them in a spot to grab the number three spot out of the Scenic West Athletic Conference, the Golden Eagles received a dynamic pitching performance from four different pitchers, including Colton Hill, who gave up just one hit during three innings of action. Zach Lundell also pitched for the USU Eastern Golden Eagles in three innings. He gave up zero hits and zero earned runs. Between Hill and Lundell, the Golden Eagles struck out six in the first win of the weekend. Both Brandon Eyring and Austin Gertzen led the way with two RBI for USU Eastern. The second game was somewhat similar for the Golden Eagles. They jumped out to an early lead, holding a 3-0 advantage going into the third inning before Colorado Northwestern tied the contest. USU Eastern added two more in the bottom of the third to take the lead for good. This time on the mound for USU Eastern, the win went to Caden Longman. Longman gave up just two hits in five innings of action, also giving up three earned runs while striking out two. For USU Eastern offensively, a group of players registered an RBI. Brandon Eyring led the way with two RBIs. As far as hits, well, USU Eastern was very balanced. Eight different individuals registered at least one hit. Now sitting 7-13 on the season, USU Eastern is two games back of Colorado Northwestern for the three spot and one game behind Salt Lake for fourth. USU Eastern will return to the field this weekend in their final homestand of the year as they play host to Salt Lake for a four-game set beginning Friday and running through Saturday. It'll be a very slow day for high school sports in the Castle Country area. Both Carbon and Emory will return to action in multiple sports tomorrow. As far as Emory High School goes, we'll see the baseball team play host to San Juan. The softball team will be on the road against San Juan, and the boys' soccer team will be at home against North Sevier. On the flip side, at Carbon High, the softball team will return to action. They'll continue Region 12 play as they travel on the road to take on the Richfield Wildcats. In baseball, the Dinos will play host to the Canyon View Falcons in the Region 12 opener. You can get more on this contest today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports as head coach Jeff Cincinnatus is scheduled to join us at 4 p.m. Again, that'll be Carbon taking on Canyon View at home tomorrow in the Region 12 opener. And the Carbon Dino soccer squad, well, they'll be off until Friday when they travel on the road to take on North Sam Pete. Most recently, the soccer team suffered a 2-0 loss to Canyon View. That game was on Friday. And lastly, we move over to the national sports scene where yesterday the Utah Jazz won their second consecutive game and seventh out of their last 10, this time knocking off the Phoenix Suns in blowout fashion by a final score of 101-86. Now, yesterday's game was monumental for the Utah Jazz. They hold a one-game lead over the Houston Rockets for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. The Jazz will continue their schedule on KOAL tomorrow when they play host to the San Antonio Spurs. Tip-off for that game is set for 7 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm an extremely average golfer. What I lack in any real skill, I make up for in plaid knickers and ridiculous socks. My wife got me the world's biggest driver, and I've been waiting all week to try it out. So I step up to the tee, take my first full swing of the day, and hit a perfect duck hook over the frontage road and right through your windshield. You yank the wheel and end up OB in a water hazard. And if you have cut rate insurance, you could be out a whole lot of green. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
Call Price Allstate agent Don Manzanares today at 637-3344. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
No one should be forced to take a mouth vacation alone. That's why Arby's is selling two new Greek gyros with seasoned beef or turkey for only $6. Now your mouth and your best friend's mouth can both go to Greece together for $6. Arby's, we have the meat.
Limited time only. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Do you have painting projects in your house? Like refreshing the kids' room? You know, painting over the artwork they did when they got a hold of the Sharpie? Or your living room, finally getting rid of that mustard yellow you thought would match your favorite throw pillow? Perhaps your kitchen? Oh wait, you never want to erase the proof that your husband burnt the dinner and almost set the kitchen on fire. Or is this year the year you tackle painting the whole house? Spectrum Paint here in Price, along with PPG Porter Paint, is here to help with spring rebates. From now until April 9th, you can save real money on the paint you need to live your life.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
It's time to get a brand new week of Drive Time Sports off and rolling, and we typically start every show with another segment of the Coach's Corner. Now, there was some big news at the beginning of the show. Emory High School football, well, they have a new coach. It was announced just about an hour ago by Principal Larry Davis that John Famalo, longtime assistant at Emory High School, is the new football coach. And we'll be catching up with Principal Davis relatively soon, and hopefully Coach John Famalo. More football talk right around the corner. Big change, only 15 coaches in the history of Emory High School football. So Coach Famalo, he's the 15th. This particular segment, however, we are going to talk baseball. Region baseball actually gets underway tomorrow. The Carbon Dinos will travel on the road. They'll go down south to take on the Canyon View Falcons. Monumental two-game set with Canyon View tomorrow. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and the non-league season, we have head coach Jeff Centenaris. And as always, Coach, it's great to get you in.
Yeah, it's good to get in. And like I said, it's here, and we're starting our region play tomorrow. So it's an exciting time for Carbon High baseball.
Well, first things first, you guys had 9 non-league games. You guys finished that set, that span, 4-5. How would you assess the non-league action for the team so far this year?
Oh, record-wise, I mean, as a coach and a player, you always want to be better. But, you know, I think we're on the right track right now. We started off, you know, not playing real, real well in a few of those games. I thought we played really well in a couple of the games that we lost, and just not real well in a couple of the others. But the last 2-3 weeks, the kids are doing what I ask them to do, and that's to steadily get better and work on things, and our hitting's come alive a little bit, and defense has gotten better. You know, everything can still be better. I mean, obviously, no one's ever going to be perfect, and no matter how many games you win, you can always still work on things, and we're working on things as a coaching staff as well as our players. But, you know, I'm excited that we're heading in the right direction. I mean, we could very easily be 0-9 in league play or non-league play and heading into region, and that wouldn't be good at all. But to be 4-5 after going 0-5 to start the season, you know, I think things are on their way up. And, you know, our region's going to be very tough for us. I've talked to the kids about, you know, how tough it's going to be. And, of course, tomorrow we got to open up with a doubleheader on the road with Canyon View, who's a team I picked to win the region along with us, you know, either one of us. And you know, to go on the road and play first two games on the road is going to be very tough for us. But, you know, I like where we're at right now, and I like the way we're headed.
we can start by talking about Canyon View, because a lot of the times, you know, the beginning of the league season, you kind of fill each other out. Not really an opportunity for either of you two to do that. You get three games right at the beginning. You mentioned it, two in Cedar, one at home this weekend. If you guys could just earn a split in Cedar City, bring it back 1-1, you guys put yourself in a very good situation.
Yeah, that's, and again, I mean, you want to win every game you play, but we talked, you know, off radio here, and a split would be something, you know, it would be really good for us to go down and get a split out of these first two games at their place. So they're a good team, just got through beating a very good Cedar City team last week. They beat Cedar in 10 innings. Cedar's a team that I picked that could win a state championship this year with what they bring back and how good they were last year. So, you know, for them to beat a good Cedar team, and, you know, that's a rivalry game for them, so there's always a little bit more involved. It tells you how good they are, and they're really capable of beating anybody. And, you know, to go down there, like I said, that's long travel. You know, you're 4 hours on a bus, and you got to get off and play somebody. It's always an advantage, you know, for the home team in that situation. And, you know, we'll have that advantage when they travel here on Friday. But it's only one game on Friday. It's two games tomorrow. And, yeah, we need a split out of tomorrow's games. And if we don't get a split, it's not the end of the, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it is the first couple region games of the season. And you know, Richfield right now is a team that could go beat, you know, could beat Canyon View, could beat us, could beat anybody, too. They're playing really good baseball. So you never know what's going to happen in the region. I mean, this would be a matchup you'd like to see in the last week of the season. You know, the two kind of favorites in the region maybe playing each other instead of at the beginning. But that's the way the schedule worked out. And so whoever does come out of this three-game series on top is definitely going to have an advantage, you know, the rest of the way. But, hey, you got to play everybody, and you got to play everybody three times, so you never know what can happen.
Well, right, and you mentioned the three times. It's the first time that you get everybody in the region three times. It definitely adds a different wrinkle. You just said moments ago, it's not the end of the world if you don't get a split, at least a minimum split, in Cedar City. A lot of that has to do with the fact that now you get 12 league games.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's kind of what we wanted. I mean, well, I should say half of us wanted that. The other half in our region didn't want that. And I just couldn't understand, you know, some of the teams that didn't want to play everybody three times, you know, why? I mean, your region should make up more of your season than your non-region games, and they should mean more. And before, we were playing, you know, a lot more non-region games, and our region games really didn't mean a whole lot other than your seeding, and they still mean that for seeding. But I mean, I think playing each other three times in a week, it gets you more prepared for the state tournament itself, because of the amount of games you play in a state tournament. We all have to develop a third pitcher for that third game in the week, and you got to have three pitchers when you hit the state tournament if you're going to be successful. I mean, there's no one that's going to go to the state tournament with only two pitchers and be real successful. And so it just makes everybody develop somebody else, and I think the more development you can have for your players and your program, the better off you're going to be. And so, you know, I was excited about going to the three games. I know Canyon View was another team that was excited, and probably because both of us have been to that state tournament and realized what it takes to be successful. And, you know, a few of the teams in our region weren't real excited about playing each other three times, and their reasoning was, well, we don't have the pitching for it. Well, that's why we're doing it. You know, you need to develop your pitching and develop your kids if you want to, you know, have any aspirations of doing anything well at the state tournament. So I'm excited about it. Maybe not so much excited with opening up with Canyon View, two games at their place first day, but it is what it is. And, you know, we got to go play the games, and we're playing really well right now. And so hopefully it'll be, you know, two really good baseball games tomorrow. And, you know, maybe we can sweep, maybe we can get a split. And if we don't get either one of them and come back, you know, with two losses, we need to get a win at home on Friday and, you know, and at least do that. But, you know, I'm excited about region play getting started. And looking outside today, the weather is a lot better than it was a couple weeks ago, so I'm excited if the weather is going to start getting better, too, because springtime here, you never know what you're going to get.
Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Corbin Dino baseball team, our guest right now. Coach, we'll talk about that pitching rotation. You guys have 4 to 5 pitchers, and so when we view three region games, obviously it shouldn't be that big of a deal, but it looks like up front, right, we have Cole, we'll have Anthony McLean, and then Mitch Olson. Those would be your first three pitchers?
Yeah, those are our three starters right now. We've kind of rested Mitch Olson's arm all preseason. It's been a little bit sore. He did throw a really good inning against Union last week and said his arm felt really good the rest of the week, which is a real positive. You know, he's had a little bit of tendonitis in it. It's been bothering him. Jaden Flemmett is another one that beginning of the season we were hoping for him to be a starter, and his shoulder has really been giving him problems. I mean, he hasn't pitched not one inning for us this year, and right now I wouldn't think that he will pitch an inning for us. I mean, he's going to get it some more, you know, looked at it by another doctor this week, and hopefully it's not anything really serious for him. He's a kid that We missed half of the season last year after he, you know, broke his wrist at Emory, and was pitching, you know, varsity for us last year. So we have some other fill-in guys. Taylor Nebeda's pitching for us. You know, he's done a pretty good job. Austin Henry's another senior who's come in. And then we're going to rely on some young arms. So Zach Bradley's another kid that has seen some time for us. And he's only a sophomore. And, yeah, we've got four or five other guys that can all pitch for us. You know, or I should say throw. There's a big difference in being a pitcher and being a thrower. You know, Cole's a pitcher. He's pitched his whole life. He knows how to set guys up. He knows how, you know, to work counts and work guys around. And Anthony and Mitch are right along with them. They're two kids that are pretty smart and know how to set guys up. And, you know, and after that, we get into some guys that are really just a lot of throwers for us. But you know what? You need some throwers on your staff, too. And, you know, I'm confident we have enough arms on our staff. And, you know, you got to out-hit people. And when you get into the second and third game in that region with the same team, you're getting the same thing they're getting out of you. You're going to get into guys who are just throwers for their team, too. So you need to go out and just out-hit them. And, you know, I'm excited about the guys we do have on the mound for us this year. And you know, I know we're more than capable of winning, you know, three games against anybody in the region. And so, you know, we'll see how this week goes. And hopefully guys' arms are getting stronger and feeling better. And that's the reason we've done what we've done in the preseason with guys' arms, is try to strengthen them up and, you know, hopefully not hurt anybody's arms. And we'll just see how it goes.
It's definitely no coincidence that you guys have won games. I mean, you've won four in a row after starting 0-5, and you scored a lot of runs during that four-game winning streak. When we go into region play, I know it's a little bit different. How much different? I mean, what's the gauge? How many runs do you have to score in order for you to feel comfortable about where your team sits?
Well, it just depends on the team you're playing. A team like Canyon View, you know, they have great pitching too, you know, and the pitching we have, I mean, you might beat a team 1-0. But you get into some of your games with some of the other teams and, you know, it's different. I mean, every day is different. Every game is different. And I feel like if we can put 6 or 7 runs on the board in any region game, that we should win, you know, every region game that we do that with. If we're going to struggle and score 2 or 3 runs, we could win or we could lose any region game against anybody. It's just the way baseball is, but right now I think we're averaging 13 runs a game in our last 4 games. It's extremely nice to coach in that atmosphere when guys are swinging the bat and, you know, you're putting runs on the board. I mean, from a coaching standpoint, it's a lot funner to coach, you know, a game when you're putting 13 runs on the board than it is when you only put 1 run on the board. But to be honest with you, when 7 innings are over with, if you win a 1-0 game and you win a 13-0 game, the feeling is the same for me as a coach. I mean, it's gratifying. You know, in the 1-0 game, sometimes those are the best baseball games that you watch. I mean, the quality of play is just outstanding usually and whatnot. And, you know, hopefully we can come out on top of some of those close games, and we're going to have them in our region. We're going to have some games, hopefully, where we blow some people out, but we're going to have some games that are going to be nail biters and maybe a 1 or 2, 2-0 or 2-1 type of game. And hopefully we can come out on the top end of those games too. But realistically, it's hard to put a number on what it is, you know, score-wise, what you can win with, because any game is up for grabs, and they're all different. Every day is different. Some days kids show up and they really swing the bats well, and other days they don't. A perfect example is Maple Mountain. Maple Mountain's a great baseball team. You know, just swept their series with Payson last week. They opened up region play, and Payson's a very good baseball team, and Maple Mountain comes here, and we beat them 13-0. And I know if we turn around and played Maple Mountain tomorrow, we wouldn't beat them 13-0. I mean, that's just the type of team they are. But that day, it was our day, and any given day is anybody's day. And so that's the reason you play the games. And so we just want to show up and make sure we give our best effort every day and hope that our best effort is better than everybody else's best effort, and you can win baseball games.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Coach, well, I know it's a busy week for you guys. You'll be on the road tomorrow, so travel safe to Cedar City. And hopefully when we talk next week, we're talking anywhere from 2 wins to 3 wins. It'd be great.
Yeah, hopefully we're back in here sitting 3-0 or whatever it is. You know, it's hopefully it's just a positive for us. I mean, like I said, no matter, you know, right now, obviously you want to win games. It's crunch time for region play, but you know, we want to continue to get better every day. We know that we're still working towards an ultimate goal of winning a region championship and then winning a state championship. And so it's a day-by-day thing to get better for those things. And either way, we're going to have to go into the state tournament and win, you know, 4, 5, 6 games. And so, you know, we're just working towards that right now, and hopefully, you know, we're ready to go when that time rolls around.
Always fun to talk to you, Coach. Thank you very much. We'll catch up again with you next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jordan.
Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondino Baseball Squad again. They'll be on the road tomorrow. Doubleheader action as they take on the Canyon View Falcons. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll get you set for tonight's national championship game. Villanova taking on North Carolina. It's been an historical run for Villanova so far this season. Can they top the what I like to believe is the more talented North Carolina squad? Based off what we've seen during the course of the tournament, I don't see why not. We'll talk about that when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
I swear, the state symbol of Utah should change from the beehive to the construction cone. I hit so many potholes, I thought I'd lose my whole car. When my front end started vibrating and shaking, it was no laughing matter. My friend told me to take my car to Auto Farm. I told her, that's a dealership, and they will take forever. Well, she set me straight. Yes, they are a dealership, so they have factory training to fix your vehicle right the first time, and in less time than other shops. Auto Farm fixed the shimmy. Auto Farm Service Department is now my service department.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Castle Country radio stations KOAL, KARB, and KRPX have money available to assist cancer patients who must travel to receive treatment. This money was raised during our annual pie auction, which is held every June. The generosity of our Castle Valley residents has enabled us to provide $100 fuel cards to cancer patients of Carbon and Emery counties who must travel for treatment. Please contact Ann Anderson at 637-1167. The process is very simple, and the fuel cards will be mailed directly to you.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment that changed my life.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out and got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Utah National Guard, aired by the Utah Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Barker, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Now remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Let's get set for the final college basketball game of the season tonight. North Carolina and Villanova will go toe-to-toe for the national championship as far as our bracket challenge here on Drive Time Sports goes. And, of course, before the NCAA tournament every year, you call in, we draw out a team for you, and if that team wins, you win. We're down to two, and it actually pits brother versus sister tonight. How hilarious is that? We have Tyson going up against Brittany, and I'm going to give Brittany props because this year we added a new wrinkle to the bracket challenge. I let the callers pick which bracket they wanted to pull from, if it was the Southwest, Midwest, or East. Brittany calls in. She picks the South. She gets the wild card. She has her choice of anyone in the bracket, and she took Villanova over Kansas. Now, at the time, even I thought that was maybe the wrong choice. Brittany nailed that pick because Villanova is playing epic basketball heading into tonight's championship contest. Really, you don't have to look much further than what they did to Oklahoma in the Final Four contest over the weekend. Villanova was fantastic in that game. I think a lot of people expected an Oklahoma-North Carolina national championship based on the four teams that we've seen in the Final Four. And I don't think it really mattered what Oklahoma did in this contest. It was Villanova's from the beginning. Villanova shoots 71% from the field. That's unheard of. It doesn't matter what you do. Buddy Hield, who was the guy, in my mind, was the best player in the country throughout the year. It didn't matter that he was 4 of 12. It wouldn't have mattered because Villanova didn't miss in this game. 71% from the field. They shoot 61% from the three-point line. And, of course, that's what stands out is the offensive play over the course of the tournament. I mean, look at what Villanova has done in the road that they have traveled to get to the national championship game. They knock off UNC Asheville in the opening round 86-56. They defeat Iowa 87-68. They defeat Miami 92-69. That takes them against Kansas. They defeat Kansas 64-59. And then they destroy Oklahoma 95-51. Now, during the past five tournament games, the Wildcats have hit, get this, 58% of their shots from the field. It's the highest percentage for a team going into the national championship game since the field expanded back in 1985. I heard that stat over the weekend. I didn't quite believe it. Yes, it is true. They have hit 58% of their shots from the field since the opening round of the tournament. And a stat that's even more insane, they've made 49% of their three-pointers in the tournament so far as well. And again, all you have to do is look at the final score in the games that they have won. They put up 86 points in the opening round, probably could have put up 100 in that game against UNC Asheville. They put up 87 points against Iowa in the next round. Again, probably could have put up 100 points if they would have pushed the issue. They put up 92 against Miami. They put up 64 against Kansas, and that game was kind of a grinded-out slugfest. Then they scored 95 against Oklahoma, and they outscore Oklahoma by 30 in the second half. How has Villanova been so efficient offensively? And I'll tell you, we talked about this with Greg Peterson, good friend of the show last week when he joined us. The X factor for Villanova, it's their defense, as crazy as that sounds. This is a team that gets it done on the defensive side of the ball. Their defense creates offense. In the tournament so far this year, they have created 72 turnovers. Five games, they have forced 72 turnovers. Oklahoma turned the ball over 17 times in that blowout loss over the weekend. So you're knocking down the three-point shots. A chunk of their points have come from beyond the arc. And that's going to be crucial tonight against North Carolina. Can Villanova continue to pop the outside shot? It's tough to do it over the course of a season. I mean, it's tough to do it in the NCAA tournament, don't get me wrong. But we've seen epic runs from teams before. And I think Villanova, the way their team is built, it's more logical for a team like Villanova to put together six solid games than it was, say, for UConn a few years back with Kemba Walker. This team is set up to play this style of basketball. And I'll tell you the guy to keep your eye on tonight, Daniel Ochefu down low. He factors into everything when we talk about this team. Offensively, he's such a great passer for a big man. And you'll see this on display tonight. Ochefu demands attention down low. He'll suck in defenders. But he's such a great passer, and his court vision is so unique that he could easily find the open man. That keeps Villanova moving fluently offensively. It's keeping the defense on their heels, and it's something that Oklahoma really didn't have any answer for. It's something that really affected Kansas as well. I think that Ochefu is the guy that will maneuver this offense, put them in position to beat North Carolina tonight if they can get the job done. Now, defensively, Ochefu is just as good. He's such a good rim protector that the guards have been able to sell out on the perimeter and at the mid-range level because they know they got somebody in the paint to protect the rim. That has been a huge factor for Villanova. And I'll tell you, this is a great underdog story. When you talk about the Wildcats, say an underdog story, they were the 2 seed. Yeah, I don't think anybody expected Villanova to get to this point. And realistically speaking, Jay Wright was on the hot seat with Villanova, which is insane, considering that this guy has won 500 games as a coach. But he was on the hot seat. And this was a guy that a lot of people didn't know would be back next season. Well, he's earned himself a new contract, let's put it that way. In fact, if Villanova wins a national championship tonight, everybody's going to be offering Jay Wright a job, especially in the NBA. Because as where Villanova has struggled to get out of the first weekend in recent years, they have put together a very consistent team throughout the season. And NBA scouts and NBA front offices and owners, they're hoping to hit a home run by bringing a guy in from the college ranks. We see it quite often. It's not working right now in Chicago. But look, Boston, that's a team that grew under a young head coach, and now they are positioning themselves to becoming one of the elite teams in the Eastern Conference. Somebody's going to be looking at Jay Wright at the NBA level, win or lose tonight. If he wins tonight, I think there's a fair chance that he's gone at Villanova. Let's flip it and take a look at North Carolina. Now, this morning, it was a 2.5-point spread in favor of North Carolina. So the Tar Heels were the favorites, and I can see why. This is a team that is so good front to back. They have the best 7-man rotation in college basketball. And we'll talk about Bryce Johnson. He's a lottery pick. Marcus Page, a senior point guard that, to me, really, he reminds me a lot of Kendall Marshall, except he's more polished offensively in the shooting aspect than Kendall Marshall. This is a good basketball team, front to back. In fact, it's one of the best teams, it may be the best team that Roy Williams has had at North Carolina since he became their coach. If you watched the Syracuse-North Carolina game over the weekend, it was so similar to the way North Carolina defeated Notre Dame. They're doing it on the glass. Very, very good on the glass. They are producing second and third chance baskets. That's the difference between North Carolina and a team like Notre Dame, a team like Syracuse. They can get the job done. Pretty much any team in the ACC. North Carolina is that good on the glass. They have poor outside shooting outside of Marcus Page, who has been wishy-washy throughout the season. At times, he looks like he's one of the top three-point shooters in the conference. At other times, not so much. You have to hit the outside shot tonight against Villanova because Villanova's defense is going to make it very difficult for North Carolina to A, score in transition, and B, score on the perimeter out of the half-court set because those guards for Villanova will sell out in tonight's game time and time again. So North Carolina has to hit the outside shot. Now, with that being said, Bryce Johnson, first-team All-American, terrific finisher around the rim. He's connected on 87% of his shots around the rim this season. And then you add Kennedy Meeks into the equation. That's a very good front court for North Carolina. I believe Kennedy Meeks is averaging like 14-6 over the last three or four games. They're good down low. And one of the unsung heroes on this team, Isaiah Hicks. He's the guy that can light the fire for North Carolina. He's finishing around the rim at a high ratio as well. I think it's something like 77%. So North Carolina is going to get the job done on the front court. We talked about Ochefu. He's obviously the X factor for Villanova. Can he adjust enough shots from Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks? Can he be the guy to adjust and get them to connect at a more, you know, set a 65 to 70% rate? That's big. I'm not thinking he will. He had an easy time out against Oklahoma. Of course, I'm talking about Ochefu here. But this is just a different caliber of bigs. And this is why North Carolina is playing the national championship game, because they have dominated the post. The odds makers say that North Carolina is the favorite. Hard to argue. I think North Carolina is a better team than Villanova. And I'm not much for predictions, but I'm rolling with Villanova in tonight's game. Because you don't go against a team that has caught fire and is playing at this type of level for five consecutive games in the NCAA tournament on the biggest stage. You don't go against a team that has shot 58% from the field the last five times out. You don't go against a team that's hit 50% of their three-point shots the last five times out. It's an historical run. It's something that we have never seen. And if Villanova can finish the deal tonight against North Carolina, historically speaking, 10, 15, 20 years from now, there's going to be a trivia question that we're going to look back on and realize just how special this run for Jay Wright and Villanova has been. Give me the Wildcats to win a national championship tonight. It's been a long time coming for Jay Wright. This is a guy that has won, what, Coach of the Year twice in his time? He's gone to the Final Four twice. I think he gets a national championship tonight. And that's not to knock Roy Williams. Again, every category on paper, you would nearly have to favor North Carolina. The one stat, the stats that you can't ignore, is the way Villanova has played throughout the course of this tournament. And it's tough to go against that. Because the NCAA, as far as the tournament goes, rarely does the best, I don't know if rarely is the right word, maybe that's an exaggeration, not often does the best team in the country win the national championship, because it's a one-game deal. It's a one-game deal. And historically speaking, in one-game deals, most notably the Super Bowl, we have seen two teams that appear to be evenly matched, and we have a blowout. Look no further than Denver and Seattle just a couple of years ago. Give me the hot team, and the hot team right now is Villanova. I'm taking the Wildcats to win the national championship tonight. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports here on AM 750 and 103.9 FM. It's a Monday edition of the show.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, I'm Nick Ory. I was born and raised in Carbon County. I grew up on a local farm and know the meaning of hard work. Customer satisfaction is my top priority. Give me a call today at Tony Basso GM, 650-4565.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-796-9372. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-796-9372. 1-800-796-9372.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no
gimmicks. Back here to put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show. We'll talk about tomorrow's show. It's going to be interesting. First time that we have done this. We are going to be live at Salt Lake Bees Media Day at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake. I'm really looking forward to this tomorrow. It's the first time that we've been able to go to Media Day for the Salt Lake Bees. The season gets off and rolling this week. It's actually a big week as far as baseball up north goes. Can't forget about the Spencer's Wishes Baseball Clinic. This is Saturday. And again, this is free to any child in the Castle Country. I'm going to be there to cover that on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you take the kids out to this free clinic. They're going to get instruction from former Major League players and coaches. They'll get lunch, and you'll get a couple of tickets to watch the Bees take on Sacramento. Now, the Bees open up the season on Thursday. This is a home game against Sacramento. Tomorrow, it's Media Day at Smith's Ballpark, and we're going to broadcast tomorrow's show live from Salt Lake. We took the show on the road at the beginning of March. We went to NASCAR in Las Vegas. That was a great time. Hopefully tomorrow will be just as good as we go on the road to Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be on Drive Time Sports tomorrow. And that'll begin again on Thursday. It's a four-game set for Salt Lake. You can get free tickets to Saturday's game. You just take the kids to the Spencer's Wishes Baseball Clinic. And to register for that, go to spencerswishes.org. Looking forward to it. Again, if you missed this at the beginning of the show, we've talked about it periodically throughout today. The Emory Spartans have a new football coach, John Famalo. Coach Famalo has been announced as the new head coach following the departure of Coach Jim Jones. Jim Jones was the head coach at Emory for 25 seasons. He announced his resignation. We talked to Principal Davis about 2 weeks ago on the show. It became official a little over 2 hours ago that Coach Famalo is next in line, I believe. He is the 15th coach in the history of the Emory High School football program. Hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Coach Famalo here relatively soon and talk about the upcoming Emory football season. Spring's a big time for football. Right now, college football, they have a lot going on. You have all the spring games picking up. Utah will play at the end of April, and of course we'll start talking about that relatively soon as well. Let's give you some scoreboard updates around the world of Major League Baseball. Bottom of the fourth right now, Baltimore and Minnesota still tied 0-0. Two hits for Baltimore, one for Minnesota. Bottom of the eighth inning, Atlanta holding a 3-2 lead over the Washington Nationals. And right now, things are heating up for Atlanta. They have bases juiced with two outs. That's in the bottom of the eighth inning. And that'll do it. Yep, no runs scored. 3-2, we go into the top of the ninth. Atlanta three outs away from picking up their first win of the season in the opener. Cincinnati right now on top of Philly, 4-2. And again, bases are juiced right now for Cincy. They have one out. And bases loaded, bottom of the eighth inning. Postponed game earlier today, New York and Houston. Also Boston and Cleveland, two games postponed. Other scores from earlier today, the San Francisco Giants, they write a great showing from Madison Bumgarner. 12-3, San Francisco blasting Milwaukee in the opener. Texas getting the best of Seattle, 3-2. And Texas, they only one hit in this entire game, and they score three runs. They take advantage of two errors from Seattle to get the win there. Still to come, 5 p.m. tonight, the Dodgers will take on the Padres. We get the Blue Jays and the Rays. And then at 7 o'clock, the Rockies will battle the Diamondbacks. 8 o'clock, it's the Cubs and the Angels and the White Sox and the A's. That's a quick look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. The second opening day. Yesterday is opening day, but today is deemed opening day. And baseball has some, and they have some weird things that they do. So it's the second opening day, the second and final opening day. And again, tomorrow we will be live at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake for B's Media Day. We'll get you rolling with some AAA baseball on the show as well. Got to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus for taking out the time to join us today. Enjoy the national championship game. Best of luck to Brittany and Tyson, the final two in our NCAA bracket challenge. And then Wednesday, we'll get back at it with a local sports front. Plus, we'll put the final touches on the college basketball season. Greg Peterson will join us. That's Wednesday's show tomorrow, Salt Lake B's Media Day. That'll do it. Be safe. I'm out. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, 4 to 5 here on KOAL.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.